Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Angeline Rudd. And before we get to Angeline, a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. Go there. There's stories that I've written, stories that some of the guests have written, some photos of the guests, some photos of me. There are links to their social media and links to our social media. We are Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram, Travel Tales Pod on X, which I don't really do anymore, but we're there. Why not follow us? I'll check in maybe in a year and see if we still got followers. We have a Facebook page too, so follow us there. And we are on all the streaming services pretty much. We're on Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio and Spotify, basically wherever you get your podcasts. So if you listen to us on those streaming services, and most of you do, I ask that you please give us a good rating. Maybe say a few nice things, give a thumbs up, whatever, because that boosts our presence there by helping more people find the show. And that's a cool thing. So if you do that, I'd appreciate it. If you think you'd be right for the show, maybe you know somebody you'd be right for the show. Maybe you want to ask me travel questions. Maybe you want to say a few nice things. All of it's cool. You could write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. This is the return of Angeline Rudd. A little backstory. Angeline is a friend of mine that I met at a party at Laura Greer's house. Laura Greer, the photographer, another 6 degrees of Laura. She was on the show a few years ago. Go back and listen to that episode. You can hear a lot of her backstory. You know, she has a really cool backstory about growing up in Louisville. She had a successful real estate business, sold it all, almost all of it, moved to Venice, California, travels a lot. She had a wild youth, followed the Grateful Dead around for a while. I mean, she's really cool. And for the last year or so, she's been traveling a lot with an older friend of hers who decided later in his life he wanted to see the world and figured Angeline would be a good travel companion. And he was right. So backstory on this, a couple months ago, Angeline came back from South America and I went to her place to record. And I decided to be lazy and not bring my full setup with the good microphones and the soundboard and everything else. I brought a little lavalier mic setup that I thought would work, and it sounded so bad when I took it home. I thought I could save it in post, and then I listened back to it. I could not. It sounded terrible, and I couldn't use it. So since then, she's taken another trip to Australia, New Zealand, the South Pacific, and I said, that's it. I'm going there with my good mics, and we're going to take another shot at this. So now this is the second attempt at an interview with Angeline. Her little dog, Henry, had just had an operation, so she was home taking care of Henry, and I went over there again. So if you hear us talking about Henry during the interview or be distracted a little bit, that's because that's the little dog. Anyway, it was great to catch up with her again and hear about her latest adventures. Please enjoy my chat with Angeline Rudd. Okay, Angeline, we're going to try this yet again.
All right,
because the last time I was here, it was unusable. It was unusable. So now, either you deliver or you will never be a guest again because you're cursed.
I really have to work for my celebrity status, don't I?
Give me the rundown of the trip you just got back on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And how long?
The most recent trip was 5 weeks.
5 weeks, okay.
Yes. It was 2 weeks in Australia. We started in Melbourne and then drove down to Phillip Island to see the little 1 foot penguins, which was awesome.
1 foot penguins?
Oh, they are called like fairy penguins. So adorable.
Oh, you mean 1 foot tall?
Yeah.
I was going to say they have 1 foot. I was like, oh, they just hop around, poor little guy.
It actually was almost that serious because they go out to sea for 10 days and they like fish and eat and party. And then so when the tide comes in the evening is when they kind of all roll back in. And when I say roll, literally, because they're so fat, because then they go back to their burrows on land and then they breed or they, you know, sleep. Like that's where they go mm-hmm. back to their house. But so they do all of their eating in those 10 days. So some of them came out and they were so fat that they either had to roll or they would hop. They just kept falling on their faces when they were coming out. It was hilarious. Like there's a few that were able to make it, but a lot of them, like they would just like struggle because they stay in their little pods.
Oh.
And a couple of them would just like fall behind and just walk two steps. And then they'd have to hop in order to move because they were so fat.
Oh. Penguins are just the most adorable things. When I went to Antarctica, it's impossible to feel bad watching penguins. They're just waddling around. They're just like little tiny things and just harmless. And they're just, they're the best.
And they're the best.
They calm you just watching them. It's like, look at this little guy. Look at him.
Same with wallabies, wombats, and koalas.
Yeah.
Like my heart just melted.
Did you see all of them? Because we went to a koala sanctuary, but it was it was north of Sydney. It was in the North Shore area.
Oh.
Where did you go? I mean, they're all over, I think.
They are. I think my favorite one, we went to every animal sanctuary we could find because we wanted to support them, and I loved it. I think it was Kangaroo Island, the kangaroo sanctuary, mm-hmm. because, you know, the fire in 2019,
yeah.
like, destroyed, I think, 3/4 of the island, so there were so many animals rescued, and the ones, like, the kangaroos that were still, like, bottle-fed, they've only known humans as their parents, so they stay there, but they've released probably half of the ones that they've been able to rescue and rehabilitate.
Yeah, we went to the Port Stevens koala sanctuary up there, and yeah. I didn't realize that the koalas are only in that one part of Australia. You know, they're only like outside of, you know, that mountain range, that Blue Mountain range there.
Are you
up
sure?
Up the East Coast, I believe. Yeah.
Well, then I guess, well,
I think, according to the map I saw, because the fires were really bad there.
I know koakas are only on the west.
Oh, koakas. I don't know them.
They're what's the difference? So cute.
What are they?
They look like really big rodents, but they also look a little bit like, it's almost...
those are the smiley ones?
Yes!
Yeah, I want to see those.
So cute.
Where are they? I mean, where
they're
you
supposed
see them?
To be only like in the west around Perth, but we saw them, I think it was Kangaroo Island.
Okay.
Or maybe around Adelaide, but there was another center.
So I've never been south, or I guess it would be south... west of Melbourne. Melbourne was as far down as I went. So what's Adelaide like? And what's that coast like?
I think Melbourne is far south, I think,
yeah.
as you can get. And then you get ahead.
You have to go east. West. West.
West. You have to go west. It's like, and then you're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. Adelaide's like the fifth biggest city. I know that.
Is it? It's tiny. They say it, call it the 20-minute city.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
Well, that's when you think about it, how few people are in Australia. Then that's uh-huh. The fifth biggest city. It's like, because, you know, this is what I learned. I mean, there's Sydney and Melbourne, which are about 4 million each. Mm-hmm. And then it's either, I think, Brisbane and then Perth. Those are the big
yeah.
four.
Yeah.
And then it's a big drop to Adelaide, which is, I know it's under 1 million, I think.
They say you can walk from one side to the yeah. other in 20 minutes. It's really cool geographically because it's like, it's wrapped around a park system. So there's like, all four corners have parks and then it has a little city in the middle.
Okay. So would you rent a car for all this?
No. So that's what, I am not a huge car person. I'm a bike walking kind of person. And my friend that I travel with, he really wanted to do the Great Ocean Road
right.
from Melbourne up to Adelaide. And I was like, how about I fly to Adelaide and I meet you up there?
Oh, so you didn't, isn't that where the, like the Seven Sisters are and all that?
The Apostles, 12 Apostles.
12 Apostles.
Right. He loved it.
Sure.
I am not a driver. I am not a rider.
You're car sick? Is that it?
Yeah, and I don't like to sit still that long. So I explored Adelaide. They had a really big festival there. Their botanical gardens is fierce. Like every, went to every botanical garden, every city in New Zealand and Australia.
Cool.
And spectacular, like 500-year-old trees, incredible flora, fauna, birds, just all beautiful habitat that is ancient.
Now, had you been to Australia before?
No, first
wow,
time.
Wow, okay.
First time.
And first thoughts when you get there. I can tell you mine, and let me see if yours is similar. I mean, it's great, but the problem is it's not, it's a little too much like America. They're very similar in like culturally, they're about the same age, you know, like a couple hundred years old. Anything older than that was Aborigine, what's been wiped out. Wow. And, you know, it's just, you know, somebody described it. It's like British Texas.
Ooh, I like that. Right?
I saw a sign like that. It was a meme going around.
But not Texas, because Texas is so Republican. Like, maybe British.
No, I mean, it's, you know, they're like.
Like the South.
It's about the same size, population-wise, as Texas.
Is it really?
Yeah, they're like 25 million people.
I truly think, I feel like they were kind of Canadian.
Yeah, oh, I call them in my act, the tan Canadians who surf.
Ooh, I can see that. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful people.
But the thing that also hit me was the difference in just how few people are there. You know, you could just go, even we were in Melbourne or in Sydney, we're driving right outside of Sydney. You could go like 45 minutes and go to a beach that's deserted, like nobody there. Which is like, if that's LA, that's impossible. You're in Orange County. You know, it's just like nothing but buildings and buildings and suburbs and for miles and miles, hundreds of miles. And it just, you don't see that amount of people. There was still like, you could still drive up the coast and just pick a random beach and there's hardly anybody where, and they'd be beautiful. Where in America, they would all have been built up with hotels and condos.
I mean, maybe the West Coast, but I think the East Coast, you could still find.
I mean,
that.
It's still like, there's still just people. There's fucking nobody there. In the center, there's nobody there. The entire state of Western Australia is about the size
of... you explored the West?
No, I didn't get there. It's huge. I mean, it's about the size of America. And I'm not good at math, but we have like 340 million people. They have 25 or 24.
The weather is a little bit different.
Well, no, it's a lot of it's inhospitable in the middle. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I mean, the entire state is like if you took a line down the Rockies and everything west of that in the U.S., that's the size of one state in Western Australia. And in that entire state, 2 million people, which would be like San Diego and then just... mining towns from Seattle all the way down to New Mexico. So when you get a grasp of like how barren it is and how desolate, it's amazing, you know? And so you go and be quiet. And we went up to wine country and it was just like, traffic was never a big issue. And it was so cool. It was like, this is great. But I mean, it's not as diverse for sure. You notice, I noticed that.
Oh yeah. It's not diverse at all.
I mean, Sydney and Melbourne are, but once you get out of those, it is white, man. It is white.
I did not have that same experience as you. It was very crowded in the cities, and traffic was pretty intense, especially in Sydney. Auckland, New Zealand, with crazy traffic. Sydney, tons of people.
No, Sydney Melbourne, is big. I mean, those are big cities.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, outside of it, once you get out of them, I mean, it's... it's open road, baby. It's open, which was cool. You know, did you get up? Did you go up the East Coast, or did you go up as far as like Cairns and scuba diving and all that?
Cairns. We did a lot of flights, and we didn't do tons of driving from one to the other.
Did you do any like snorkeling or diving?
I did dive. The Great Barrier Reef was amazing. It was like the water was crystal and flat and.
Warm.
We went to so warm. And they use these suits, like they're jellyfish protecting suits, but it also was SPF 50. And you look like a penguin and you're just like from head to toe. So you don't have to wear any sunscreen. It was like I snorkeled all day and didn't have to think twice about it. But yes, we dove and saw black tip sharks and turtles. And it was spectacular. Beautiful dive. We also did Tasmania, which I really love.
I've been wanting to go there. That's been on my list a long time.
Talk about remote. Two things that I've noticed about Australia and New Zealand, they don't love their signs. Like if there's a winery here, I mean, my map's like, it's right here. And there's like no sign anywhere. And all of a sudden there'll be like a little piece of paper, like nailed to a tree, winery. And I'm like, there it is. But it's just so easy to pass things.
Yeah. So how long were you in... and did you just go to Hobart, or did you go around the island in Tasmania?
We did some around the island. It was a little anticlimactic. We went to, Tasmania is the one that has the prison, right? The port?
I think so, yeah.
Yes. We did the prison, which was interesting.
Okay.
And then, because I mean, my friend is a history buff, so.
I thought you said, oh, my friend's a prisoner. That's yeah. Very
we're
interesting.
Visiting
to him.
His ancestors. It is kind of funny to think about, you know, Australia, most of the Brits are there with their lineage.
Yeah, it was a prison colony.
It was a prison colony.
Yeah.
And then once the prison closed, it's like they all kind of, what I took from the history lesson there is they just kind of changed their names and created their own backstory and just started living normal lives. And
yeah.
Just, oh, well, from now on, we're going to be coal miners from Bath.
So did you, so 5 weeks, you did mostly flying around. Did you get as far, did you go to Perth or... I never
did
made
not
it out
go
that
west.
Way.
As far west was Adelaide, Kangaroo yeah. Island.
That's like a separate trip. I mean, it's you can't try to cover too much. That's a problem a lot of people have. They try to do too much, and that'd be like coming to America and like, okay, first we're going to go to Miami, and then we're going to go to San Francisco, and then we're going to go. It's like
New
no,
York
you can't
LA.
Pick a side. You know, you can't. How much time you got?
Right. I mean, I would probably try, and we really did. Then we obviously took the top five and. We spent a good 3 or 4 days in the top five and Tasmania and Kangaroo Island.
And then you went to New Zealand.
Right.
Which you told me before we started that you weren't as big a fan as you thought you'd be. It's very beautiful.
It's gorgeous. And the people there are wonderful. It was so much fun. It's just, it was bombarded with Americans. Like in Australia, I really didn't see, many Americans didn't hear many American accents. But as soon as we got to New Zealand, it was more Americans than... Right. Kiwis.
A lot of cruise ships. Did you see those pull in?
Yes.
Yeah, ooh, that's where a lot of them are coming off of, unfortunately.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
Yeah, it's a big stop.
I guess it's
true.
They
go down to Milford Sound and they yep. do all that. Yeah.
That's where we were. Queensland, Christchurch, Queenstown, and then Milford Sound. Yeah. We saw the glow worms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah?
That's yeah, that cool. was really neat.
Did you stay in the South Island or did you go up?
South Island, we went bungee jumping and AJ Hackett, sure. where he invented bungee. It was ridiculous.
Had you done it before?
No, and I never want to do it again. Glad I could check the box. And,
sure.
And then my whole body was a little out of whack for a minute.
Oh.
It was okay, though. It was fine.
Okay.
Glad I did it. Got the t-shirt.
Yeah, did it. But did you, okay, so after you do Australia, New Zealand... Did you guys go up into Asia or did you just come back? You hit some islands on the way. You went to Tahiti where I just was at.
Were you there too?
I was in Moorea.
Yep.
And I caught some ships there. But then I went back. Remember when I went to snorkel with the humpbacks in October? I was there.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. Did you go to Moorea?
We started in Rarotonga, which was beautiful. In the Cook Islands.
Yeah.
And stayed in the sanctuary, which is... It's Marine Reserve, and there was more fish than I can ever imagine.
Yeah, give that name out, because that looked cool, your photos.
Yes, called the Sanctuary, Rarotonga, incredible. And then from there, we went to Aukaitaki, which was awesome, which is another Cook Island. It was beautiful. We stayed on this private island, the Private Island Resort. Would not really wow. recommend it. I know, but it was murky there. It was the lagoon side. It was supposed to be amazing. But it really wasn't my favorite. And then we left and like, okay, we're going to go to Tamanu Beach, which was actually on the ocean side. It was spectacular. That place, hold on, I have to sneeze.
That's okay.
Let me do it away from you.
Bless you.
Oh, well, thank you. Tamanu Beach was spectacular. They were so sweet. It was just beautiful to walk around, a really long beach and great snorkeling still. Lots of sea snakes.
Ooh.
But it's kind of cool. Actually, there were sea cucumbers more there, but on the private island, there were snakes everywhere. And the next morning, you'd be able to see where they were all on land. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, wow.
And just all of their prints in the sand.
Any jellyfish?
No, thank goodness.
Okay. See any whales?
No, but
there
were...
I think they leave that time of year. I think they left.
Yeah, they were. It's the wrong season. There were spotted eagle rays right from the beach. Like, I'm just walking on my sunrise, and there is a family of seven just in such shallow water. I was able to get on my iPhone and just take videos of them.
That's great.
It was beautiful.
Was it super hot? You were there in the middle of winter.
Yeah, it's cyclone season, but it didn't rain on us at all. It was beautiful. And it was warm, but it wasn't bad. And then from there, we went to Moorea.
Okay.
Which was nice. And then just spent one day in Tahiti Papeete.
Right. You got to catch the flight. They time the flight, so it screws you that they want you to spend a night there, whether you're coming in or before you have to leave. So it's, yeah.
And I wanted to see it, but then once I saw it, I didn't want to stay.
No, that's not where you want to stay. Moorea I like, though.
I loved Moorea. I didn't love our first hotel, but then the second we did an overwater villa, and it was next level awesome.
Which one? Because I know there was a Sofitel, and then there's a Hilton?
Right. This one is called Manava. I know.
And there's a third one then.
Yeah, there used to be another one that has been closed.
It's closed, yeah.
That's the
Intercontinental?
Intercontinental.
Yeah, I kind of got a backstory that there was like a labor dispute.
Really?
And when COVID hit, they said, oh, we're going to... There was like a deal where if they shut the hotel and fire everybody, they have to be closed for like 5 years. So they kind of just, it's a good time to shut down for 5 years. And so I don't know if they're waiting for another buyer or they're going to reopen it or something, but it sounded kind of shady and yeah, which is too bad because it's like right at Shark Ray Alley there.
Gorgeous. It is exactly where Shark Ray Alley. Yes. So I did a snorkel tour and it was spectacular. Swimming with the turtles, with the sharks, with the stingrays. And yes, the Intercontinental is right in the heart of it. And I was like, they could be making a fortune. Like the Overwater Villa is like $1,000 a night and they had like 30 or 40 of those. Like, do the math.
So you're with, who was your friend that you go with? You can make up a name. I don't know.
No, he's just such a good friend. He's kind of had a tragic story recently, and he's just been needing to get out of LA and get out of town, and he's been saving up his whole life to travel. And his life just kind of turned upside down, and he was like, will you please just go play. And so he's like my dad's age. And so I'm kind of his daughter's age. So we just kind of, we're father daughter everywhere we go. And it's the sweetest friendship.
Oh, that's great. But then you find yourself in this, the most romantic overwater bungalow. It's like, well, this is kind of cozy. Yeah.
Well, they had a fold out sofa, that one.
Okay.
It's interesting because I think people don't really know. They look at us like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. I'm like, no, father, daughter. And then once you say that, and I don't always say it, it's just if they kind of give that look or if it's one king size bed or something. And I'm like, could we split these beds? And,
right.
And then when you say that, it just clicks with them. Oh, let's change that narrative.
Of course. Because when you go, you know, we know how it goes. Old men and young ladies.
I'm not quite.
If it was the reverse,
lady.
If you went there with like a young, is this your son?
I'd be like, no, he's my pool boy.
So, okay. And Moorea, did you stop on the way back or fly direct back from Tahiti?
Back from Tahiti. Okay. 8 hours direct flight.
That's a great trip.
It was a spectacular trip. And I am tired. I was so glad to get home to my beloved.
Oh, your little dog.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one before was South America. The one we talked about before, right?
Yes. Yes, that was South America. And then in between, there was Costa Rica to sit with ayahuasca, which was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a little bit about ayahuasca because our friend Amber has done it like 50 times.
I know.
And most people I talk to maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I'm a one and done kind of guy.
Really? Did you get like violently ill and then you...
No, I
have any revelations, anything?
Definitely. And I felt like my body was kind of holding on. It was interesting. I didn't know if my body just hated the medicine because it really wanted to throw up as soon as I was gagging. But yet I couldn't really throw up. It was just like a gagging kind of thing. And they're like, because you need to release the emotions. Everything is emotional. And I'm like, I didn't know what to take of it. I did do a big breakthrough the first night. Like me and my mom just held each other and cried. I went back to the womb and it was pretty freaking intense. And I was 100% in it. I was feeling what I was feeling in the womb. I was feeling my mom, and my mom was in the really state of being scared and insecure and unsafe because my mom and dad were splitting up. My dad just left mom, left her with a mortgage that was 4 months behind, 3 kids, no, like just super lost. And so I was in her belly, and I've always known I've had a sense of like scarcity that I'm like, why am I so worried about this? And so then we did a lot of deep healing. Like I just you know, she passed a couple of years ago, but we were together in this whole journey, and there was a lot of forgiveness, a lot of love. She was saying she was proud of me. I was so proud of her. She did such an amazing job as a mom. So it's like we did a lot of healing together, and then I was done. I did not need it. When we signed up for two nights, the second night, I was like, nope, I never need to do it again. I really appreciate it. My body did not like the medicine.
Yeah, I bet.
But it did, it gave me what I felt like I really needed.
But as someone, as we learned in your first interview a few years ago, who followed the dead around for quite a little bit, how was this trip any different than one of those that you may have taken in the past?
You know, what's interesting is I've never had an adverse reaction to medicine before. It's always been love and light and joy, and the world is one, and we're all connected, and everyone is love, and we're all walking around shining like the stars and the sun. And this was the one that was that my body was like, get this out of me. And I did feel a hangover the next day.
Sure. I bet.
Yeah. But yeah, every other time it just connects me to the oneness of the planet.
Where in Costa Rica was this?
It was close to... Okay, you go... Oh, give me some... There's Guiones, and then just north of that, it's...
Were you in the peninsula, like in the Coya Peninsula, or were you up in the mountains like Monteverde and all that?
On the coast. It was a beautiful venue. Okay.
Near Jaco? Or
nope. South of...
Nosara?
Yeah, it was in Nosara.
Nosara is where I did my surf school. That's where I went to surf school. Did you surf while you were there or try?
Not this time.
Okay.
But I've surfed in Mexico.
Nosara is fun.
It is, but it's interesting how divided it is. It's not like there's one little town of Nosara. Oh, okay. There's like three or four different little villages that make up Nosara. And I didn't know that before.
Where'd you stay? So you want to give a shout out to any place that you recommend?
I forgot the name. But it was great. But I think it is more used for rituals
right.
and medicine journeys.
So did you get a hotel there and then they pick you up from your hotel and take you up in the mountains and give you the...
No, we rented a car and visited my friend Sis that just sold her 90 acres. So
90 acres?
Oh, it was beautiful too. It's definitely in the hills. So we went stayed there for 3 days first and then drove into...
That sounds beautiful.
It was wonderful. It was beautiful to say goodbye to it with her and help hold her hand through letting it go. She's been curating it for 28 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is she moving or somewhere else?
It was time. She just turned 80.
Oh, my gosh.
And okay. She had been, it was her life's passion project, and it was time. She couldn't manage it as much, and things were shifting, and times were shifting. And
is it a farm? It's like...
No, she... She considered it a refugio.
Yeah.
Just like a sanctuary. She had her house and a little guest house. And she used mother-in-law tongue to navigate all the different trails, to create trails around the 90 acres. And she grew what she ate there.
And how do you know her?
From Kentucky. She's a dear friend.
Oh, really?
In Kentucky.
That's amazing.
She's spectacular.
So they've been down there like over 20 years. They were like pioneers going down there, like before Costa Rica really took off.
She used to be a big wig in New York, like with HBO and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then this was kind of her. And she did 6 months in Costa Rica and then 6 months in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, she's had a fascinating
life. You got some friends in high places.
I do have quite a few friends, just like you, Mike.
Yeah, but they're not flying me around the world and putting me up in their 80 acres and Costa Rica. So that was a great trip. Was it just Costa Rica, that one?
That one was only 10 days Costa Rica.
Okay. So the South America one.
That was...
Refresh my memory on where you went. You went Peru. I know you did.
I think that was like 4 weeks. No, my Peru was a couple years ago. Where did we go? We started in...
Did you get down into Patagonia?
Or yes, that's it. He wanted me to do Antarctica, and I bailed on it because... That would have been like 7 weeks, and I can never be away from my beloved again more than three. So I skipped Antarctica, and then I also bailed on the Amazon at the end in Brazil. Mm. And there can be other times in my life, but priorities are my beloved. So I met him. I did Chile, Argentina. I mean, Chile, Santiago, and Valparaiso by myself. and then joined him down in Patagonia. And we did about a week around there driving, which was beautiful. And then we flew up to Mendoza, Argentina, which was awesome. And then
wine.
Lots of wine. Lots of wine. Then the Bolivian salt flats, which was great. And Bolivia does not make it easy.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're not. You really see the difference of a country that has their tourist infrastructure ready to go, like Costa Rica. I mean, it's the difference between going to like Laos and then Thailand. Like Thailand gets so many tourists and they're used to it.
Uh huh.
And you know, whether it's speaking English in the hotels or the roads being okay,
or a flight getting in and out at a decent hour.
Just those little things we take for granted, and then oh right, I've never been to Bolivia. That's probably why.
It's $160 even just to enter the country for the visa.
Ah, okay.
Then the flight was like, I think it arrived at 3:30 a.m. And there was the only flight that we could find had like a 4-hour layover in Lima before getting there coming from Argentina. Like they just make it so tough to get in and out. La Paz is a little tough too. It's
gritty.
It's a little gritty. And then
high elevation.
Oh, it was high. I had a little bit of that too, altitude sickness. And then the salt flats were beautiful and the people were so lovely. And we stayed in a salt hotel. It was really cool. And, you know, I do feel like there's other places on the planet that have those salt flats where it's not quite so extensive getting in and out
of there.
Like Utah?
Like the Bonneville salt flats in Utah? They're not, but I mean, the Bolivia ones are supposedly, I guess they're known for like those mirror kind of like reflection or something.
And it was stunning. It really was stunning. I'm so glad to have the experience.
Yeah, you had some cool photos there. And everybody goes, does the one where your friend's far away, but you look big and like he puts his finger up and you look tiny or whatever.
Yeah. I have some of him stepping on me and me squishing him and then me jumping in a beer bottle. It was awesome. It was awesome. And then we did Iguazu.
Okay.
And we did Buenos Aires and went to a tango show and then Iguazu and then Rio.
That's going to be nice.
It was amazing.
I love Buenos Aires.
I loved Buenos Aires.
It's very European. It's probably the most European looking, and they'll be the first ones to tell you that it is.
Yes, they are.
But of all South America, it's probably, I mean, you think you could be in Spain. You know, it's just like you're in Madrid sometimes when certain neighborhoods you're walking through.
It's true. We hired a driver to just take us to the different neighborhoods. There's like five very unique neighborhoods where one's like the really ritzy Beverly Hills and there's one like La Boca that I guess would be like the Venice Beach kind of thing. It was beautiful. And there's one that was super wealthy, like the Mujeres Bridge, the Women's Bridge. But I don't know why.
I know
why.
There's the Recoleta, and then there's the, it's a bunch of different names. I remember walking through one, I was like, oh, this is the Upper East Side of of Buenos Aires. And
my favorite was the oldest part of the city. That was, and I forgot the name of it, but I have a friend from there. That was by far, it's cute little cobblestone squares, and that was great.
And the wine's so cheap and good.
So good. So good.
Do you eat meat anymore? I don't know.
I do. And not
just
often.
Nonstop steak in Argentina. That got old after a while. I mean, it's good, but
I
don't
once.
Eat that much red meat anymore.
Right. I had one. I ordered it one time, and I could only eat like a little bit, but they bring you a giant portion. So I took it back to the hotel, and I'm like, anybody want this? So like, yeah. And so I didn't let it go to waste, but it was definitely quite a bit. But it was delicious.
So how long was this trip?
That one was, I think, 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
No more. I made a promise to my little dude here that 3 weeks max. And none for the rest of 2024, he comes with.
No.
2025, we're looking at, I kind of want to walk up Kilimanjaro. And then I think we want to go to Seychelles, Mauritius, and maybe Cape Town and do a little safari.
All good.
There.
I've never done Seychelles. But I did Kilimanjaro, which is great. And Cape Town is really cool. Cape Town is fun.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
He really wants to do Egypt, but I might, because I'd like to do it again. I was there in like 95.
I've never been. It's on my list.
You need to do that.
Right? We're going. We got to bring, are you going to bring Henry to Egypt?
No.
I mean, how are you going to?
Well, 20, that'll be next year. I can't do it this year.
Little Henry, does he fly? How does he fly?
He flies like a boss. He's so good.
He's small. I mean, you put him in a little bag.
And no, he sits on my lap.
Oh.
The whole time. I mean, he's the perfect dude. He's the perfect dude. He'd be fine. Like, he's going to come with us to
Kilimanjaro.
And, no, probably.
Climb Kilimanjaro with him. It would be kind of
cool. I mean, he might be the first little dude to climb Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, that's where the altitude got me.
I can imagine.
You know, after about 15,000 feet, I discovered that's my, that's where it hit me. Other, you know, I'd been high up, a place like Bolivia or even like high in Colorado.
Right.
You're up to 11,000 feet sometimes and stuff like that. And you get like short of breath or, you know, you have trouble sleeping or something like that.
Did the headaches get you?
Yeah. But after about 15, that's when like I got a little nauseous and like headaches. And I was like, oh, this is different than just being short of breath in Cusco or something, you know?
I actually do get it as well. I've noticed like the Mount Everest base camp, I was getting it. So question with Kilimanjaro, since I know that I get the altitude sickness, how many more days did you have to climb after the 15,000?
It depends on what route you're doing and who you're doing it with. Ideally, the slower you go, the better. And I did the quickest route, you know, the 5-day one with the huts, which most people would say that it's too fast. I mean, we didn't do
the Coca-Cola trail.
Yeah, we didn't do an acclimatization day. I mean, we just plowed through. And I was in a group of 12, and 11 of us peaked, but one guy got, like, you know, on the final climb in the middle of the night, he started, like, slurring his words and walking crooked. I was like, you all right? It was like, you know, a young guy in his 30s, in good shape.
Oh,
and but altitude, it hits everybody different. Like, can knock out a Navy SEAL and a 65-year-old woman is fine. You
so
know,
if
you
he's
just don't know.
His words, and does that mean that he
just
stopped, able?
He just fell over, and then we just kind of one guide stayed.
You
with
just
him
left him
and left him behind. But a guide stayed with him, but we just kind of kept going. I mean,
did he ever make it up?
He made it, which amazed me. I thought they immediately were going to take him back down, but maybe they just rested, and he made it to like there's a first ridge. But even after you hit that one, there's another like 1,000 feet to go or whatever it was. And he didn't make it to the peak, but he made it way farther than any of us thought he would. But he didn't peak though.
Tough.
11 of us did though. It was great, but it was hard, you know, and I was in much better shape then too. And it was hard.
Yeah.
But the slower you can go, the better. That's all I'm saying, you know. And you have to walk super slow, which is really
annoying.
Because I walk fast.
Me too.
But once I saw how slow we were going, I was like, I can't walk that slow. Because if you try to blast up, you're going to get, it'll knock you right out. I mean, there's
way. You could maybe walk fast the first up to like
Well, 5, people were 000. Passing us. It was really funny. So these young like Russian kids like passing us up.
Uh-huh.
And like, okay, all right. And then sooner or later, we'd run up to them on the trail and they're like doubled over and just like, not feeling good. We're like, ha ha.
Tortoise
see?
In the
yeah.
hair.
There you go. Punks. You know? But
way to feel the love, Mike.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, suck it, Ruskies. But, you know, they're like brought vodka with them and they're smoking and, you know, they're Russian. That's what they do.
Kids. Man, we did that fun stuff when we were kids. We could do anything.
Of course. You're invincible.
Yeah, I know.
Do you feel yourself like slowing down on the travel and stuff?
Honestly, this last trip I was journaling like what am I doing? Like, I don't want to travel just for the sake of traveling. Like, I need a purpose with it. Mm-hmm. I want more, because then I'm just another Instagram person, you know, who's just junking up.
You're one of those other Americans that people are bitching about.
Yeah,
god, they're everywhere.
I know.
Just yesterday, we ran into this girl from Venice.
It's so funny. I know, my friend's always complaining about it. And I'm like, what makes us any different?
Yeah, we're one of them. I'm clogging up space here.
We're taking the selfie, too.
So when you say a purpose, what are you thinking?
Like, I don't know.
Like charity work or?
Definitely love service work, or write a book or do a vlog. Do something to where it's just not in vain. It's not showing up at a pretty place and taking a picture. One thing that I do love to do is find service work just along the way. You know, any little things, like make sure that you cheer up 5 people in a day. offer smiles, offer kindness, hold doors open, buy people, you know, a coffee, find anything you could do, pick up litter, just do something every day to make the world a little bit better. Like, that helps.
Right. I mean, had you done this kind of stuff in the past? I mean, traveling around, have you done foreign aid work?
Oh, I've done a lot of that. I've done organized, but I'm talking even non-organized. But yes, I helped put clean water systems in Nepal. Yes, I've done, and you know, the Palestine stuff. And
right. But have you done...
Colombia.
I think we talked about that, your first one, the Nepal stuff, because Nepal's been on my list forever.
Oh, it's
so
great.
So that's where you did, you know, so you did the...
I worked with Waterstep right after the earthquake. Oh, I did that. I've done that, I guess, three times.
Really?
In India. No, only one time in Tibet.
Okay.
And the base camp. But then Nepal was the second time I was in Nepal helping with the earthquake victims.
Oh, right. I want to go to base camp really bad.
I think you just need to do it. I'm sure you can.
How is it physically?
Can't book a cruise on that
one. Well, no. After I do Kilimanjaro, you know, I did Kilimanjaro and I wanted to do it soon after. But then it just... You know, life happened, and I still haven't done it.
Very different. You don't really have to do a lot of hiking.
Well, it's
altitude.
Yeah, no. Well, Kilimanjaro is higher than the base camp.
Oh, I believe it. Oh, that's going to be
and
tough.
And so that's I think there's more walking on the Everest one because we weren't going big distances in Kilimanjaro very much at all. It's just altitude. It's just up. Mm-hmm. So in terms of distance wise, it's not that bad. So it's like, as long as your legs are in decent shape and you're used to hiking, my legs never got really tired. It got more tired on the peak day going down. Because you know when you're using different muscles going down, and that's when it's harder on your knees. And
I'm going to do meniscus surgery next month.
Oh, well then maybe wait a little bit.
I'll probably wait a bit.
Yeah.
But I was thinking maybe early next year if my knee's up for it. But I couldn't do it in this current state.
Mm.
I know. It's
you and right. Henry got so many problems.
We got more issues in Vogue. but that's okay. We're fixing them all.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, have you looked at any of these places and gone, well, I could live here or retire, or are you thinking about it? Because you're kind of, I don't want to say unsettled, but you sold a lot of property out back in Louisville and...
Right.
Made a big change. I mean, do you feel a change coming again?
Well, it's interesting. I am so in love with where I live, and I really love the roots I'm getting here in LA. I do love it here, and I also kind of miss Kentucky sometimes. I miss the trees and the trails and the friends, and, you know, it's a lifetime there. So, yeah. But we do, my friend and I, as we travel, we talk about how if Trump is reelected, how there might be an alternative homestead for a few years.
I hear there's a lady selling 80 acres down in Costa Rica.
Already done sold it. Yep, that's.
She tell
a
you
shame.
How much? I'm fascinated.
Oh, it wasn't bad. It was like around $1 million.
Oh,
yeah.
For 80 acres.
90 acres.
90 acres.
Uh huh.
Wow. I hope somebody doesn't build some ugly ass resort on there.
Probably an ayahuasca retreat.
Yeah, there you go.
That seems to be pretty rampant down there right now.
That's big business.
It really is.
So people are thinking of doing an ayahuasca retreat. What advice can you give them?
Sitting with grandmother. First, feel the call. Like, you need to have the call, and then it will come. Like
if you go in skeptical, nothing's going to happen. Is that what you mean? Like,
no. Okay. So that's different. When you're feeling like you want to sit with ayahuasca, I think wait until you are sure that that's something that you need to experience and what you want to get out of it. Not just because I do feel like when we were there, it was a little bit of a cultish energy around it. Of they were just, they're diehard. Oh, and then I did combo and tombo and then this and then this. And it was very much like I'm a seeker. I think both of us are seekers. And at the same time, I'm also very content with my life. Like, I am madly in love with my life and I like to explore more things. I feel like some of it was cultish with how many different times you've done it and how many different drugs you've done and blah, 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 and medicines and where you are in your spiritual path. And I think it's great. And everyone's on their own journeys. And it got a little rote too, knowing the guides, the shamans have been, you know, they can do this every single night for years, and they've been guides for about 8 years. So it just seemed like it was a little bit like the circuses in town. But I also think it was wonderful, and I was ready for it, and I don't want to discourage the amazing shifts that people can get out of it. But I also don't expect one thing to be the end all be all.
Right.
It's a medicine, but you get out of it what you put in it, and don't expect it to fix everything.
How big was the group you were in?
I think there's 20 to 25 per night.
And you stayed overnight?
Yes. It's an overnight thing. Grandfather is like Wachuma, and that's a day thing. And then ayahuasca is a night thing.
Okay.
I was done around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and they are like, everyone has to stay in the circle until the sunrise. And so we were just laying there on like a kind of a cot sort of mattress. Oh. And I didn't want to be there anymore, but I couldn't leave. That part didn't feel great.
Yeah. Like, can we hit a drive through somewhere?
Beautiful music, beautiful entertainment, magical musicians, great guidance and leaders. But you know, when you're ready to go to bed, you're ready to go to bed.
No, I know.
Right, especially like in our 50s, we're just like done.
Yeah, the beauty of it is you don't apologize. You know, it's like when you're younger, if you want to go to bed, you got to like explain to everybody, come on, man, what do you want to get? It's like, okay, I'll stay up now. And plus, people our own age, completely, it's a totally valid excuse. Uh-huh. Hey, how come you didn't go to the party? I was tired. Oh, all right. I get it. I totally get it. Some nights I don't want to leave the house.
I mean, right? Oh my gosh.
Traffic is enough. We're like, I don't want to. Yeah, okay. I can see that. But if I don't, I don't shame anybody for wanting to go to bed. It's like, I get it. It's tiring.
It's almost euphoric sometimes, like on a Saturday night.
Sleeping?
When I'm home and I know that like the world's happening and I'm just snuggling in with my dog or watching something.
Right. And you're here in Venice. You're probably hearing whatever, God knows what out there, you know.
There is always
craziness.
Fun to be had.
I bet.
And it's nice. And I treasure loving being in.
Yeah.
And just snuggling up with my dude.
Oh, you and little Henry.
I know. We're a match made in heaven.
You're right. Your longest relationship.
He really is. It'll be 10 years in another week.
Wow.
God, that is by far my longest relationship.
Did you have a dog before?
Yeah, actually, this is like the fourth incarnation of my dog when I was 11. When my dad passed, my dad had a pit bulldog in Brussels, and he got shipped over to move in with me, my two brothers, and my mom. And her name was Babe, and she took to me like she was a mom figure to me. And so we were together every single day, and it was this level of connection and love. And then when my mom had her put down, when the neighbor started threatening to sue her because Babe was a pit bull, and so I didn't get to say goodbye. But then every dog I've had since has had the same temper, the same love, the same connection. So this is just Babe 4.0.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's why it'd be hard. It's going to be tragic when Henry transitions, and they'll just be another form.
Mm-hmm.
They are all perfect dogs. Like, I've only had perfect dogs.
No, well, that's reflects on you.
I mean, most
dogs. Well, yeah. I mean, but dogs reflect their owners and how they're raised, and you know, if you're an asshole, your dog can be trained to be, you know.
I mean, I know
asshole,
that's true for
you know?
Kids. But
yeah,
yeah,
same thing. Well, they say there's no bad dogs. There's only bad owners. That's
true. Well, to my detriment, I spoil them rotten. He is such a princess. He gets everything he wants. He's
a prince, not a princess.
No, he's a princess. He wants me to put a coat down if there's a puddle so that he can walk across
okay,
it.
Okay, that's a little.
It's that bad.
But we've gone on walks on the beach, and he likes the water. Likes the beach anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't like the water.
Okay. He runs away from the waves.
If the tide's up, he looks at me. He's like, "Why is the tide high, Mother? Can you fix that?"
Are you doing Burning Man this year?
I doubt it. I feel like those days could be rested a bit. And I think in September I'm going to do the Banff and.
That's a good time to do it.
Glacier.
It's beautiful up there.
What about you? Are you going to burn?
I've never done it. Ever.
You probably should.
I will be in Europe.
Oh.
I don't want to brag, but I'll be in Iceland and Scotland.
That is better
time.
Than the heart of Europe in September, August. It's just so packed full of humans.
And plus, well, that was the only drag that I want to go to Iceland early. you know, like 3-4 days early to check it out. But the only downside is it's the third week of August and it's going to be packed. And flights are ridiculous.
Already?
Yeah, it's just the peak tourist season. You know, a few weeks later would be better after Labor Day.
Which you couldn't, because when do you...
I got to pick up the ship there. So where they set the date. It's not up to me.
Where do you get dropped off?
That one I'm going to Southampton. And then I take another one to Cork for a couple days.
County Cork.
Yeah. And then 5 days later, I got to pick one up in Scotland. So I'm gonna kick it around Scotland for like 5 days up in the Highlands and stuff. That's I've never done it up there. I've only been to Glasgow and Edinburgh, but I've never been high up north. Have you?
No, just Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Yeah, right?
That's going to be amazing.
That'll be fun. Banff is beautiful, but again, you're talking about crowds.
I'm talking
busloads of Chinese up there.
Oh, is it really in Banff?
Banff can be crowded.
September?
It'll still be nice, but yeah. I mean, not as... July and August, of course, will be the most... But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But it is popular. It's popular.
I think we're looking at the very end of September, early October.
That could be nice.
Might be a little bit better.
And then
we'll see the fall.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be great. Yeah. It is pretty up there. It is.
But I really... That's the thing, my friend... He hates tourists. He hates the packed stuff. But I'm like, why do you go to every place that's like the hot spot on the map?
Yeah.
Like, we need to start going to the town next to the town on the map.
If you go to Lake Louise, which you have to see, mm-hmm. just go there. And this is common in a lot of heavy tourist spots. First thing in the morning, like early, like 7.
Yeah.
Because there'll be very few people, if they'll let you in. But even not, just get in there right when it opens. Because okay. bus loads and things... They take their time getting up there. So they don't start arriving till like 9, 10. So if you can get to tourist spots as early as you can in the day when the sun's coming up, and that's when you get it, or else you're going to be cropping people out of your shots and walking away from them. You know?
Yeah, Google has that. Androids have that capability of cutting people out.
Apple, it's like the Trevi Fountain in Rome. If you don't go at like 6 in the morning, it's going to be a zoo.
Machu Picchu. I was the first one in and it was just... empty. I was able to get the best photos.
How cool is that? How did you get up there so quick? Did you take the train or did you...
Like, I know people.
Oh, well. Sorry. I forgot who I was dealing with.
Yes. I took the train up. I had a guide that we pretty much were the first in line at like 6 a.m. to get up there. And then my guide knew exactly where to start me to where it looked like it was really empty. When people normally started down at the base and we went and started at the top. He's like, come up here first. You get all these pictures before the people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the case in any popular place, you know, whether it's Machu Picchu or Angkor Wat or any of these things. If the earlier you can go, the better, because it just gets
Do you
nuts.
Feel like we hit it the best? Because when I was Angkor Wat, I think that was like in 97. No, maybe it was like 2006. But I feel like pre-Instagram, we really got to see the best of the best before all the crowds.
Yeah. I mean, there certainly wasn't, you know, crowded with people like doing it with selfie sticks. And they didn't have selfie sticks, you know. But pre-smartphone was a completely different thing. People just snapped a photo and got the hell out. You know, they didn't take... Oh, let's take another one in the 50 different...
Because you only get 30...
Yeah, you only get one shot. Like, make it good.
30 photos in that film.
Hope that'll come out when we get home.
And then your finger's on it. I know.
Take you to the photo mat. Remember those days? Ah, those are the best.
Oh.
Pre-digital.
So are you still really enjoying the... Do you still have a strong travel bug? Does it...
Oh, sure. I mean, it's curiosity mostly. Mostly for places that I've never been. And I don't have it as big in the U.S. anymore, just because I've seen most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just, you know, the culture and just I've seen it.
Right.
You know, I'm you know, 50 plus years of America is a lot, you know. And
you don't
I know the culture. I know the music. I know the regions. I know the accents. I know the everything about it. So it's just kind of it's not that exciting to me anymore. Now, I've gone to the Caribbean so much. I don't look forward to that anymore.
Well, do you not feel that about a lot of the world too? It's like, oh, I've seen this landscape, even like Northern Scotland. I've seen it in Ireland. You've seen it in Milford Sound. You see it in parts of New Zealand. It's stunningly beautiful.
Right.
And probably even Banff. It's, It is stunning. And, you know, in Iceland, Reykjavik, like, there are so many beautiful, stunning places.
Yes.
Does it ever, do you ever feel that it gets a little rote of, oh, I've seen this beautiful mountain, these people, this festival?
Yeah. I mean, I think it gets a little rote more with cities and people than it does nature. I mean, I don't know. I'm gravitating more toward unspoiled places just because they're getting fewer and fewer. Hmm. And we're losing them, you know? So seeing those give me more of a buzz. But, I mean, like nice resorts and things like that, I mean, they don't really... I mean, they're nice, but I mean, I don't know how you impress me anymore. You can build anything. You got enough money you can throw at it. It's like Dubai. I have no interest.
Yeah, I did 24 hours and that was plenty.
It's like, you know, a big Vegas to me. It's like, I'm not impressed that you, hey, they got an indoor
ski resort.
It's like, okay, you just a ton of air conditioning and all the money in the world. Yeah, you can build anything.
Right.
And so that doesn't impress me really that much, you know, so... I like historical places. You know, when you say like, oh, the old part of town is like the coolest. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, as Americans, we tend to like old things because we don't have that
we
stuff.
Don't have
you know,
it.
We don't have
the history.
A 1,000-year-old part of town. You know what I mean? You
right.
can't go to Rome and you know, see ruins here. Like, oh, from BC? Holy shit.
It's so true.
And that's the kind of, you know, like Australia doesn't have that either. So that's like, where's the ruins here?
It is interesting. They're like, go see this heritage bridge. And we're like, that's from the 1950s.
Yeah. It's like 100 years old.
It's true.
So, yeah, we don't get that sense of history like you do in parts of the world. But, yeah, and any animals I can see that I can't see here, I'm always jazzed about seeing. You
definitely.
Know, like a safari or something. It's really cool.
The wombats just won my heart.
Yeah.
Apparently, wombats, like you, at around 2 years of age, they have what's called the turning. And so they need lots of snuggles and love and cuddling up until they're 2 years old. Like they need it.
Aww.
They crave it. They need it. Like it's mandatory to snuggle with them. But as soon as they turn two at the turning, they get fiercely. They hate humans. They're totally territorial.
Wow.
And that's when they get released. So they hang out in the refuge until they're two. And then once they're turning, they're prime for being set back into the wild because they all of a sudden don't know you. They don't like you. They want to kill you.
You know what is it? They become teenagers. They become assholes. It's puberty.
Yep.
The turning. That's what I'm going to call
puberty now. They're going through the turning.
Go through the turning. Send them out. Send them to the mall.
It's
never come back.
True. Send them wild.
So, okay, a little travel this summer. And... you're going to stay some... Maybe we'll get to see you more here.
Yeah, I'd like to stay. Well, I'm heading to the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
I don't support the Derby. I don't like how they whip the horses. I feel like that should be banned.
That's why I'm surprised that you're going.
Well, it's 150th running, and my friend is desperate to go, and I'm unfortunately a plus one.
You're so Louisville.
I do.
You take you out of there, but you
take
can't...
Take me out of Louisville. Can't take Louisville out of the girl. I am going to enjoy 12 days back in Louisville.
It'll be fun.
Oh.
Bad for your diet, but it's, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Louisville's really gotten...
It's growing.
Good on the
sure.
scene. Yeah, that's like their food is a lot of farm to table, a lot of humane. Like, I'm really into the regenerative farming and the humane animal sources, and that's one of my biggest passions right now. So I think Louisville's getting on board with
that. I can't remember if you were a bourbon person.
No, well, here. I love the smell of it. I love to collect it. I've got my pappy over there.
Oh, yep, there it is.
And I believe that my mother gave it to me too much as a baby when I was teething, when I needed to sleep at night, when she needed to sleep at night.
Yeah,
and
who was getting it on their teeth? You mm-hmm. or her, or both?
So, she needed to knock me out a bit in my childhood, which I don't blame her.
Right.
But
the turning, yeah, well, your turning happened big time.
Yeah. So, I'm not good with it. It gives me a little bit of a headache and knocks me out.
Yeah. Well, happens.
It serves
its purpose.
This is where we're
at as we drink our matcha tea.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, Eddie, has your perspective on things since we last talked a few years ago... with travel and meeting people, has anything changed recently? And
I'm a little less inclined to just do the travel for the sake of travel and see something new. I want more purpose-driven, even if it's just service, kindness. I just need to live my life where really the focus is, how am I making the world better every day? So something in that.
It's a good philosophy. Then we'll do this a couple of years from now, and then we'll see how much you've been giving back.
I know. I feel like so much, this culture is so driven by success and accomplishment, and something we can put down on paper and making the world better. When the truth is, if you're walking by a plastic cup, pick it up and put it in the trash can. If you see someone having a bad day or that doesn't hold the door open, you hold the door open for someone else. Like every single, there is 1,000 opportunities a day to make the world better. And it doesn't have to be anything we put on a portfolio. So I would like to encourage the world to, you know, all of your viewers, this big giant.
My viewers, my listeners, you mean?
Your listeners.
Whoever's viewing this is looking at us through the window. That's what's happening.
Again.
Yeah,
all of your listeners to stop thinking so much in the terms of how are people going to see this as success, and just how is the world becoming better because I'm alive?
It's good philosophy.
That's you heard good. It here first.
Angeline, it's good to see you again, as always.
You too.
And one of these days, we're going to be in town at the same time and actually go to the same party.
Taco
or I'll be back. I'll be back in town. We'll do a beach walk when Henry's up for it.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah, it's going to be a month or two, but I would love that.
Yeah.
I miss our walks.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
You too.
Angeline Rudd, everybody.